I'll invite you this morning to take your Bible and open to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke. This morning, as we gather around the study of God's Word, we want to consider a passage that has the intent to help us prepare for our time and our study around the Word of God, but also around the Lord's table this evening. Each month, we collectively gather together and we seek to remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us and accomplished for mankind upon the cross of Calvary. And every time that we gather for that purpose, it should be a time that is precious to us as God's people. For we are reminded of all that He has done. We're reminded that He came to this earth to save those of us who were sinners, that we might be redeemed. I don't know about you, but for me, the month of December seems to make that time even all the more precious. As I consider the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our minds begin to think of the day in which He was born in Bethlehem. As we begin to remember that He came to this earth for you and for me, we begin to plan for all the festivities that surround the Christmas season, and we're given that wonderful reminder that joy to the world, the Lord has come. You and I that have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ understand that the very purpose for which He came to this earth was that in one day He would go to the cross of Calvary and there He would die. From the very moment that He entered into this world, there was that one great singular purpose that He would go and die for the sins of mankind. On Calvary, He took our place. On that cross, He became sin for us. He became our substitute, and as the Lamb of God, shed His blood that we who were dead in sin might live eternally. What a wonderful joy and blessing it is to think of our Savior this morning. What a wonderful joy and blessing it is that tonight we'll gather together around His table, remember a body broken and blood shed for us. This morning we've opened our Bible to the Gospel of Luke, and I want you to turn with me to the second chapter, Luke chapter 2. And this morning I want to be reminded of the words found in Luke 2, beginning in verse 21, and we'll read down through verse 33. I'm going to invite you to follow along as we read those verses. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, we'll read again down through verse 33, then we'll have a word of prayer. We read these words, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before He was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we're able to come and gather together around the Word of God. Come this morning that we might focus upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who left all the glory of heaven, who came to this earth, who gave his life upon the cross of Calvary, that all sinners could be saved, no longer bound for an eternity in hell, but forever saved, forever with a home in heaven, there to be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity. What a wonderful day that will be. Father, Lord, today we put our focus upon him. Lord, this evening we'll gather around his table and we remember him till he comes. Now, Lord, that day may be very soon. Father, if there's one here this morning who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that as we focus upon him, that you would help them to see their need, trust in him, and be saved. We'll thank you, Father, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we look at Luke 2, we're going to take for our text verse 30, where Simeon says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." As we consider that text together this morning, we are reminded that all of Israel at that time was to be looking for the promised one, the Messiah, he that would save Israel. The prophets of Israel of old had foretold that the day would come when the Messiah would come and deliver them from their sin. That promise began way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam chose to sin against God and follow his own way instead of the ways of God. And God would promise to all mankind that he would send one made of the seed of a woman to redeem us from the law. That there would be one who would come and be the Savior of mankind. We look this morning at Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to invite you to turn back there just for a moment. Galatians chapter 4, we read it for our scripture reading. What a blessing it is to consider that man who was in need of salvation, man who could not in any way save himself, but had to trust in another, was to be looking for that coming Messiah. And the Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God has sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." What a wonderful truth that God so loved this world that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary. All of Israel was to be looking for the coming Messiah. And as we come to Luke chapter 2, we find that there was one faithful in Israel. His name was Simeon. And Simeon was looking for that coming of the Messiah. And as Mary and Joseph enter the temple, there to do as the law required, to offer the sacrifice for their male child born, Simeon takes the Lord Jesus up in his arm and he blesses the Lord and he proclaims, "I have seen thy salvation." There is some wonderful truth from this confession of Simeon. And as we prepare for that precious time tonight around the Lord's table, I want to begin to prepare our hearts as we consider that thought, the Lord's salvation. You and I are entering into the Christmas season. We enter into a time in which we are to be remembering the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth. But we must remember that he came with a purpose. He was born in order that he might die. He came to save sinners. And as was taught in Sunday school, we ought to be reminded that we, like Paul could say, of whom we are chief. Folks, we are all sinners. We are all worthy of hell. We are worthy to stand under the very wrath of God, for all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Simeon beholds the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares, I have seen thy salvation. And I want to focus on that salvation this morning. I want those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ to be reminded of the truths that Simeon was reminded of. To behold him and see him who is the salvation of all mankind, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, if you've never yet trusted in Jesus Christ, we want you to understand this morning that he died for you. He loved you. And he is not simply the Savior of the world, but he can be your Savior this morning. Simeon confesses several things this morning concerning the salvation of the Lord. I want you to see, first of all, with me, the truth that he reveals to us in verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I want you to understand with me this morning, be reminded with me this morning, that salvation is bound in a person. Salvation is bound in a person. The reality is, if you're here this morning under the sound of my voice, you're seeking to know spiritual things, or else you wouldn't be here. And the reality is that as we come to understand spiritual things, there is the reality of salvation that it is bound in a person. The Bible tells us that every man has an innate knowledge that there is a God. And with that knowledge, there is a desire within mankind to be well-pleasing to that God. Only a fool would say in his heart, there is no God. For all of us are created with that knowledge of God. But man knows because that the Lord, that there is God. And because there is a God, there is a knowledge that there is also that we have the opportunity to offend such a God. And if we offend such a God, we are worthy of his judgment. If you go back throughout history and you begin to consider the societies of the world and you begin to study their religions and you begin to study what they thought about God or their gods, you will find that men have always lived in the fear that they would be judged by their God. And man has always sought to be well-pleasing to their God. The Bible makes it very clear who our God is, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. And it should be our desire to be well-pleasing unto him. Man has devised many ways over the years to try to appease God in order to avoid being that offense and suffering from his wrath. Men today have devised their religions. But Simeon reminds us that salvation is not bound in a religion. Salvation is not bound in our works or our ability to appease the wrath of God. Salvation is bound in the person of Jesus Christ. As he picked up that child, as he took him to his arms, as he beheld Jesus Christ, he declares, I have seen thy salvation. He is referring to that child, that person. Salvation is bound in a person. Not in our works. Not in our ability to appease the wrath of God. It's not that we go to church. It's not that we give money to charities. It's not that we try to live a good life overall. Salvation is bound in the person of Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us, to buy us back from that law. Do you understand what Galatians is teaching? It is very clear that the law reveals to us the need of salvation. For no man can fully keep the law. You and I are not capable of keeping the Ten Commandments. And that is just a small portion of the law that Paul refers to in the book of Galatians. There are over 600 laws in the Old Testament. We can't keep 10. And the law was designed with the purpose to help us understand there was a need of salvation. And the law was designed in all of its teaching to point us to a person. For salvation is bound in the person of Christ. Not in religion. Not in our works. Not in what we can do. Simeon said, I have seen thy salvation. He had seen Christ. Many today imagine that as long as my life is better than someone else, I'll be okay in the eyes of God. Because let's face it, God will be more angry with them than He will be with me. We begin to compare our lives to others. Well, I'm not like them. I'm not as bad as them. I live a pretty good life. Oh, I'm not perfect. But folks, salvation is based upon the very person of Jesus Christ, and He is the one to whom we will be measured. And the Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. The same is true in our day as it was in Simeon's day. There were many that day in Jerusalem going to the temple, following a religious system, seeking to appease their God. I've often wondered as I've read this passage, I wonder how many people were there on that day. You ever think about things like that? I wonder how many people were actually at the temple on the day that Mary and Joseph were there with the baby Jesus. I wonder how many walked by and saw Him. I wonder how many looked at Him in common. He's a cute little fella. You know, we have that tendency to do that. We walk by, oh, he's so cute. And we kind of keep... I wonder how many saw Him. I wonder how many looked upon Him on that day. Yet it was Simeon who by faith understood that He was the one to whom God had promised. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he understood that this is the salvation of the Lord. Many saw Him, but few understood. Mary and Joseph knew because they were told that He was to be called Jesus, for He would save His people from His sins. It's interesting to note that they would marvel at Simeon's prophecy that we'll consider in a moment. They never understood it wasn't just for Israel, but for the whole world. They marveled at that truth. But Simeon, under the leading of the Spirit of God, because he had been seeking for that salvation, saw in Him who was the salvation of mankind. If today you're wondering how you can be saved from the bondage of sin, the Bible tells us we need to look no further than the person of Jesus Christ. In Acts 4, verse 12, we're told, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. It is by Jesus Christ and Him alone. Therefore, men, the Bible says, according to Romans 10, verse 13, must call upon the name of the Lord, and there to them the promise is given, they shall be saved. You know, Christian, as you and I begin to prepare tonight for that precious time around our Savior's table, we don't need to forget that that salvation was made possible because of Him. On the front of our communion table, it says these words, in remembrance of me. We gather to remember the Savior. It's easy for us because man has a tendency to take what God has given and make it his own. We who even know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior still have a tendency to make what we have with that relationship with Him really into religion. But folks, as we come and we gather tonight around the Lord's table, we're not remembering the religion that we're involved in. We are remembering the Savior.
For salvation is bound in a person, not our practice. It's in Jesus Christ, in Him alone.
I want you to see secondly with me, though, that salvation is based on a promise. Look at verse 26. It says, "And it was revealed unto him, Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he hath seen the Lord's Christ." God promised Simeon that he would not see death until his eyes beheld the Savior of men. Until he would see Jesus Christ, he would continue to live. There was a promise given. And as I consider that, I'm reminded that salvation is based on a promise. Salvation from the very beginning of man's need has always been based upon a promise. You begin to read through your Old Testament, you begin to read cover to cover from your Bible, and you will find the promises of God. In Genesis 3, we are given the promise of the Savior that He would come from the seed of a woman. In Genesis chapter 12, we are given more that that Savior would bless all the nations of the earth. And that He would come from the line of Abraham. We continue on down through our Bibles and we continue to find that He would be from the royal family of David. That He would be born the son of a virgin. Fully God and fully man. He would be Emmanuel, God with us. There is salvation promised to us through Him. But there's always been the promise that those who would look to Jesus Christ would find their salvation. Although man was unwilling to walk in the way that God had ordained, and man is worthy of God's punishment for sin, God in His grace, God in His mercy, and God in His love provides for mankind salvation bound in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. How precious it is to consider again that He became sin for us. He was wounded for us. He was bruised for us. He received stripes for us. He was nailed to the cross for us. He bore the wrath of God for us. He gave His life that we might live. And salvation is based on the promise that there would be one who would come, who would leave the glory of heaven and come to this earth, become like you and me, that He might redeem us by His precious blood. We can trust that salvation is ours if we believe on Him. Because salvation is based on a promise. And folks, the Bible is clear, and those who know Him have found it to be true. God is not a liar. Every promise is fulfilled. You may be wondering today, well, I don't know, if I believe in Jesus Christ, is it really going to save me? Yes. Salvation is bound in a person. It is based on a promise. In Luke 2, we also find that salvation is bestowed upon us because of God's pity. Look at verse 31 and 32. As Simeon sees the salvation of the Lord, he says, "Which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, the light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." After Simeon proclaimed that in Jesus Christ is salvation, he went on to share a prophecy that very few understood. And that prophecy was that God desired that all men, Jew and Gentile, be saved. Our God is a God of great compassion and great capacity. He not only loves those who are lovely, He loves the unlovely. And by the way, in case you're wondering what category you belong in the unlovely. We are wretched, terrible sinners. But God is a God of great compassion and great capacity. And His love was spread to all the world. No wonder why the words of John 3:16 are really so precious, so familiar but precious. For God so loved the world. that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came because he loved all mankind, and he longed for men everywhere to be saved. This morning, Logan came to me and said, "Dad, I have a question. Why did Jesus die on the cross to save me from my sins?" I'll be honest, I was a little blown away that a four-year-old would ask that question. Caught me off guard. He came back a second time and he asked it again. And I simply looked at him and said, "Logan, for one reason, God loved you." Because he loved you, he came to the cross and he died for you. Peter declares in 2 Peter, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He is a God of great compassion and great capacity. He bestowed his love out of pity. He saved us because he loves us." Paul wrote this way to Titus and reminded us of this truth. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Our God bestowed salvation upon mankind because he loved us. He commended or showed his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. Christian, what a beautiful reminder that God loves you. Can I remind you that love ought to ever be before our eyes? As you and I come and we gather around the Lord's table, we go through the process that we always go through. Our deacons will come and they'll pass the bread and they'll pass the cup, and we'll be reminded of that reasons for which that was given. "That body broken for me, take and eat. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink ye all of it." Each time we go through that process, each time we gather around that table, it ought to be reminded of us that salvation was bestowed upon you because God loved you. Can I remind you that the love that we find of God is not a love of emotion, it is a love of choice. In his infinite wisdom and love, he chose to love you. And he came to the earth and died by his own choice. He willingly became our sacrifice. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, I want to reiterate the wonderful news that in the world, in a world in which very few care about us, in a world that is overrun with selfishness and self-centeredness, in a world where you will be quickly trodden under, stabbed in the back, and forgotten, there is one who loves you with an everlasting love. And that salvation that God offers is bound in him. It is based on a promise and bestowed upon you if you will receive by his grace, mercy, and love. Jesus Christ wants to save you. I want to give you the final thought, though, this morning concerning the salvation of the Lord. And that is this: salvation brings those who believe peace. Look at verse 28 and verse 29. "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.'" Why would he say that? "Because I've seen the salvation of the Lord. Lord, I'm ready to depart. You can take me home and take me home today. That really doesn't bother me one bit. I am ready to depart in peace, for salvation brings peace to all who believe." We live in a world today that is overrun by trouble and trial and turmoil. We live in a world that is longing for peace, and peace can only come through the person of Jesus Christ. When Simeon saw the baby Jesus, he was at peace. He was ready to depart. He was ready to die. By faith, he perceived that salvation was bound in the person. A person that God had promised would come. And by faith, he realized that God, in pity, had sent his Son, and God would save men of their sin. I wonder this morning, are you at peace? I wonder if you've experienced the wonderful peace that only God is able to give. Many entered into the temple that day. Many came with the burdens of heart, the troubles of life. Many came and performed their ritual. I wonder how many left in peace. Simeon left in peace, for he had seen the salvation of the Lord. There is peace to those who come to Christ. I wonder how many today will enter a church like ours, will hear the good news of the gospel, yet never appropriate that truth that in Jesus Christ there is found salvation based on the promise of God bestowed upon us by his pity. And many wonder how many will come and yet not find the need of their life. Will that be you this morning? We come with our trials and our troubles of life, but have we found that peace that only Jesus Christ can give? Christian, I wonder how many of us will come to the house of the Lord today, gather around his table that reminds us of that great love for us and challenges us to stay in close relationship with him, and yet walk out of the church today not receiving that which will meet our needs. See, the Lord's table is designed to remind us of the peace that he brings. Yet we continue to make that relationship a religion, and we miss the peace of God. Folks, salvation is bound in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. It is based on the promise of God, and it is bestowed upon those who believe in him, because God, in grace and mercy and love, has offered it freely to all mankind. And as we accept it, there is peace. By the way, that peace is intended to last forever. We lose that peace as we enter again into the problems of this world and we take our eyes off of the person, Jesus Christ. We begin to focus on the aspects of our religion. We're more focused on things and practices than we are the person, and the peace begins to fade. But as we come again around the Lord's table to every believer tonight, it's to be reminded that there is one to whom we look, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame and endured the cross. He became sin that we might be redeemed. We who were dead now live eternally. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, what we want you to simply see is salvation is not bound in religion, it's not bound in works, it's not anything that you can do. It's been provided by the very love of God. There can be peace as you accept that promise bound in the person of Christ. Let's pray together this morning as we close. Every head bowed and every eye closed before I pray this morning. I want to just ask the question, have you experienced the peace of God? Has there been a time in your life where you've been saved? The Bible says there is salvation in none other but Jesus Christ and him alone. Man today, through his acts and his religion, seeks somehow to appease the wrath of God. But until we accept his love that he bestowed, based on that promise and bound in the person, will never know that peace. Maybe you're here today and you said, I've tried my best to work my way to salvation, but I'm just still not at peace. Maybe today you've realized I've never been saved. I never realized that God loved me that much and God sent His Son for me. You've come to the realization by the Spirit of God that I'm not saved this morning. If that's you this morning, we want to let you know that God wants to save you today. The Bible says, now was the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved this morning, we want to provide an opportunity for you. An opportunity that will change your life forever. An opportunity that will take away the problems and replace it with peace. A peace that you have a home in heaven forever settled. A peace that is based on a promise and surrounded by the fact that God loves you. Because He loved you, He sent Jesus Christ for you. I wonder if there's one who would say this, Pastor Bateman, I'm here today, I'm not saved. I know nothing of that peace. But today I want to be saved. It may be that others think that you are saved. You may have told others somewhat of a testimony, but within your heart you realize there's never been that day. I'm not saved, but today I want to be. I need to be. I see Jesus dying for me and that He loved me. Today I want to receive that. Today I want that peace. If there's one here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to be, would you simply lift your hand that I could pray for you? By lifting your hand, you're acknowledging a need. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Anyone at all? Christian, tonight we're going to gather together around the Lord's table again. It's easy for that to become part of just our practice. But that table was designed to be done in remembrance of Him. It's to be bound and thought of in a person. Is your heart prepared to come and gather around that table? Prepared to see and focus on Him? The Bible tells us that those of us who know Him ought to prepare our hearts for that time. We are to judge our own lives before the Lord and come worthily before that table, not perfectly, but worthily. Our focus ought to be on Him as we come. Maybe today it's time to adjust our thinking or our habits. Maybe it's just suddenly within my heart, you know what, tonight I actually need to come back. I need to put Him first. Maybe it's adjusting away from making Christianity a religion and really begin to focus again on a relationship. You may walk with God every day. You may read your Bible every day, but you might be doing it simply out of a practice. It's the wrong reason. It ought to be focused on the person. Whatever the need of our heart is today, let's allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and move us. And may we be willing to respond that all glory be brought to His name. Father, we thank You again for this time to be able to come.